Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kalb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. John Ryan, who is the author of The Missing Pill, The Rise of Energy Healing and Conscious Biospiritual Transformation with an Introduction to Unity Field Healing. Dr. Ryan is a practicing MD. I believe he's currently working as a radiologist, and he underwent an awakening himself probably about the same time I did, right after the harmonic convergence, and really has had a remarkably parallel path to my awakening and probably many other people during that time period, and has encountered a great deal of information and found out that pretty much you can have information coming in from higher levels in meditation, channelings, and other non-traditional ways, as well as reading books and studying masters. But basically what it comes down to is that once you understand that we are spiritual beings on a journey of consciousness and elevating ourselves energetically, then the whole world looks very different. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Ryan.
Gosh, it's truly my pleasure, Dr. Kalb, and a big hello to all your listeners.
Great.
Really happy to be here.
Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and tell them a little bit about how you got on the path that you're currently on, and what guided you to write the book?
Sure, yeah. So currently, I live in Canada, in Ottawa, and I, as you mentioned, I'm a practicing radiologist. But my background in medicine goes back to when I finished medical school in 1987. I was a family doctor for many years and did a lot of counseling work and work in personal growth and development. And it was during that time I began to live a series of relatively mystical experiences, I guess. When I look back, they were energy-based experiences that began to open me up to the larger world of energy and consciousness and an understanding of how that can be applied to healing and healing principles. And, going back to the harmonic convergence, really, I had an experience while I was still in medical school one day when we were receiving a lecture, and during the lecture, the professor was explaining the healing cascade. So basically, this is all the things that happen biochemically in your body when you cut yourself and how the body responds to this in order to heal, so in order to stop the bleeding and begin to lay down new tissue and all this type of thing. And this stream of questions began flowing through my mind about how does the body know how to do all of these things and how to control them, and what happens inside of us to give the body this information so that it knows how to do. And I kind of went into a trance state right in the middle of the lecture, and all of a sudden I opened up into this really vast field of energy, and I could see that there's information or energy that kind of lives in another plane, I guess, or dimension. It's sort of parallel to the body, and it's there, and it's available guiding the body in an energetic sense. And this was very foreign to me. I mean, I wasn't used to living these kinds of mystical experiences. I think you hear of people talk of peak moments and opening up to the oneness of life and experiences, and it was something very akin to that. It was just an exposure to a much vaster field of consciousness than we normally live in. And that kind of transformed me, and it was right around the time of the harmonic convergence and the energy transformation that was beginning on the planet. And then after that, I was led through a series of other experiences that, you know, sort of gently opened me up to the energetic reality of life. I began to have some kundalini awakening experiences where my body would go through these vibrational movements, and I would start to breathe in an uncontrollable way, and my body would start to shake and vibrate and all these types of things. And it was a little alarming at the time because I didn't know what I was living.
And you were also a medical student or a doctor, so you had all these other things that could be.
Of course. You were going through the...
You had too much information.
It could have turned me either into open to energy or a hypochondriac.
That's right.
But it really did start me on a road of discovery. And as you learn when you when you're walking a spiritual path, you're guided in ways that are fairly mystical or synchronous. And I was prompted one day to go to a bookstore, and in the bookstore I discovered a couple of books, and one of them was about Kundalini Awakening by Gopi Krishna, and another was a book, a channeled book actually, by Lee Carroll and an entity named Kryon. And again, this is all very foreign kind of information to me, but one of these books started to glow on the bookshelf as I looked at it, and the other one magnified into two times its size as I was looking at it on the bookshelf. So there are just these little strange experiences that happened, and they kind of guided me to information that would help me understand and be not afraid, really, just willing to open and willing to go through the process of what my spirit was walking me through at that time. And then I guess from there I began to study energy and energy medicine and became familiar with, you know, the energy structure of the body and chakras and acupuncture and the meridians and all these types of things. And I began to have a couple of experiences where I began to see energy myself, particularly when I was working with people in an energy way, like doing Reiki or hands-on healing. And, you know, when you start to live these more tangible experiences, it's a little easier, I think, to believe, because you have something to base it on, if you will, or you're reassured by them. And I worked with people as I was learning things in energy. And but what I found through the years as I was working with people is that when people started to open to consciousness medicine or energy-based medicine, it's a little overwhelming. Like, you'll go into a New Age bookstore and you start looking around and there's books on crystals and energy healing and spiritual practices and meditation and various forms of vibrational therapy and all this kind of stuff. And you look at all of this and you wonder, my gosh, how does this all fit together, really? It's so overwhelming to the mind, right, if you're not familiar with it. And it was hard to really bring people to a source of information that could really consolidate that in a way where people would have a good solid foundation and understand how all of this fits together. And by all of this, I mean spiritual growth and consciousness, energy healing, vibrational healing, and personal growth, and how it relates to wellness and disease, and how we can manifest a greater wellness or well-being by understanding some of these principles. So that was the nidus, I guess, or the motivation that really led me to want to write the book. So the book itself is really it's a comprehensive primer. Okay, it's written to take you deep into the world of energy medicine and consciousness-based healing and spiritual development and bring together all the elements, I guess, that are required to have a foundational understanding of energy and consciousness-based healing. And it's catalytic in the sense that as you read through these things, of course, you're having your own personal experiences and memories and all these types of things. And there are exercises that are included in the reading that are really meant to deepen a person's personal experience of the work as well.
And then, there's a picture on the front of the cover. Would you like to tell the listeners where that came from?
Sure. So the book is kind of, I guess the second purpose of the book, apart from that, is to, with this foundation of understanding, people are able to take what I would describe as the next step in energy healing, or, and that's moving into a quantum basis of understanding of healing. And but you kind of need that energetic foundation, I think, to do that. And then about 2011, I lived an experience. Actually, I should go back. In the early 2000s, about 2002 or so, I lived an experience one day, Susan, where I was in meditation, and this cosmic sky opened up in my mind's eye or my third eye, and it was, as people are familiar with Egyptian mythology, Yen-Nut, you know, you have the night cosmic sky. It's like a dark blue and twinkling stars sort of as a cap or a dome, I guess, if you will, over the cosmos, and this point of light came down. And it was like a stream of light, and it connected physically in a tangible way to my body through my crown chakra and my head. And it was like a filament of light, and then the light started to vibrate or scintillate, and it popped open, and it kind of revealed a double helix, kind of like a strand of DNA, if you will. And I didn't really understand what that was at the time, but it was, I just kind of tucked it away as an experience. And then years later, I was at a conference in 2011, and I had kind of a parallel experience. And this time, a point of light kind of descended from high above, and it created, it fanned open into four sides, and it created like a light shell or a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And then down through this pyramid came a second point of light, and then a third point of light, and each one of them was forming another pyramid. So there was like a stack of light pyramids in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the bottom pyramid came another point of light. But this point of light expanded into a circle. And then within the circle, two more circles formed, and then two smaller circles formed. And it really is the pattern that's in the central part of that diagram on the book. And it formed, and then it kind of activated in a way where it began to glow from inside. It was like light was flushing up through the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it took on a life, if you will, or an activation. And then a few months after that, I was meditating. I'd done a yoga session one day, and I was meditating and just lying down in dead man's pose. And all of a sudden, I began to see this template again in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, it activated, and it began to flush, not just with the white color, but with all kinds of translucent colors, like pinks and oranges and purples, really beautiful celestial or angelic kind of light colors. And as this was happening, I could feel my body resonating with this activation. And it was almost like I was a marionette. I could feel there were little strings or things being pulled inside my physical body. And like releases, if you will, little energy kinks or blockages were being pulled and tugged. And I kind of went through this healing process as the template activated. And then during that summer, I sat down one day, and I was writing about something, and all of a sudden I started to type information about the template, and it explained that it's a light template. It's an interdimensional pattern, and the explanation of it's a bit long, but in short, it's a light template that can be used to work on a quantum level with DNA-based healing. And then later that year, I had another meditational experience where the first thing that I was shown in this meditation was the cosmic spiral. So if you're familiar with Apple products and you open the screen, you know how you see the galaxy. There's a whole galactic mm-hmm. spiral on the as the image. So it was a picture very similar to that, but a little bit more round. And then I was shown the DNA, a DNA molecule. And from this spiral, this double-stranded braid came down as if it were coming down towards the earth. And what I really believed I was being shown in that moment was the resonance between the structure of DNA and all living things. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the galactic spiral, for example, it really is a double-stranded helical formation. And if you look at DNA, it's the same thing. And there's this resonance of this pattern, basically, in all living things, from the level of the structure of the galaxy all the way down to the DNA in our human form. And then I was shown the DNA molecule kind of as if I was looking down the channel or the center part of the helix wrapped around itself, and it showed me how it looked exactly the same as the galactic spiral. And then that kind of flashed or refreshed, if you will, the screen kind of, like on a computer, it just kind of refreshed. And when it came back, there was this really beautiful crystalline staircase. And it was going up, and I could see a door at the top, but I didn't really see what was beyond the door. And my perspective was I was at the bottom of the stairs looking up. And then it refreshed again, and when it came back the second time, there was a strand of DNA laying on top of the stairs. Now, when you have visions like this, I know that they're kind of peculiar. Not everybody's had that experience, but they come with a lot of meaning. They come with information and meaning, and I could appreciate from this vision that the coded message, if you will, was we're being invited to go up in vibration or to go up, ascend, if you will, or go up a level of reality into another place or plane or world or however we want to describe that. And the mechanism that by which we take the stairs is not really our footsteps. It's our DNA. So the DNA was laying on the stairs. So really is the process or the mechanism by which we make this ascent. And then I was shown a picture of this massive DNA molecule, sort of on a cosmic scale, if you will. And this little pattern that we were talking about was floating around inside the DNA molecule. Now, there's a commercial on TV. It's a toilet bowl cleaner where there's little bubbles running around the toilet, kind of scrubbing the toilet clean. And I laughed, but that's really what it reminded me of in that moment. This pattern was kind of floating around inside this big DNA, and as it moved, it was scrubbing it clean, like popping, and little light flashes and things were happening as the pattern moved through the DNA. And I realized that it's meant to be used to help people on the level of their quantum DNA to work for transformation and to bring healing or a new level of health and potential into their 3D reality, if you will. So on one level, it's a spiritual descent of information and energy, but on another level, it's human beings taking a step to rise in consciousness and move up a level of understanding as well. So that's really what that little pattern was all about. And
so one of the principles in spiritual teachings is as above, so below.
Right.
And I think most of us are familiar with our physical DNA. We've seen pictures of it, at least in medical school, and probably most of the public has. But can you explain a little bit about spiritual DNA? Because that would be the equivalent of the higher level DNA.
That's right.
And how they're related to our physical DNA.
Exactly. That's right. And another term that gets used commonly is quantum DNA.
Okay.
And the way that I understand it, I think people have different perspectives on it because they have different, this is all new information for people and it arrives in people's consciousness in different ways. But it's the process itself, I believe, is the same. But what I was shown is that there's a quantum field of information that the way to think about it is our physical DNA is in our body. So we have, you know, the nucleus in our cells contains the 23 pairs of chromosomes and there are strands of DNA. And this DNA is physical. It's structural. It exists in the 3D world. But around that DNA is a field of energy that we don't see. And it's a quantum field of information. So it doesn't exist on the 3D reality where we're used to seeing things. It exists on a quantum level of reality. So it's invisible to the eye, if you will, because we don't have the technology yet to see quantum energy, even though we do know it exists. And this, the way it was shown to me is there's a field of information that is around the DNA and it interfaces with the DNA, if you will, kind of like the way we use Wi-Fi. So you have a computer and the computer is a solid item and it's receiving information through Wi-Fi, but this information doesn't exist in the computer. It's existing in this field of information all around the computer in another plane. And the Wi-Fi has the capacity to transduce that energy or bring it into the computer. Mm-hmm. And so DNA has a quantum field around it, and it interfaces with the DNA. Now, when we started to discover DNA back in the 1950s with Watson and Crick, we discovered the molecule itself and that it contains a bunch of genes. And then one thing that was quickly realized as we started mapping the DNA was most of the DNA doesn't seem to have meaningful information. Mm-hmm. So there are genes, and then there was this 95% or more of the molecule that didn't really have any genetic function. And so they first termed this information junk DNA, and I think people are probably familiar with that term, and kind of shocked or surprised to think that most of the DNA that we carry doesn't seem to do anything purposeful. But slowly, mostly through the research of what's termed epigenetics, scientists began to discover that a lot of this junk DNA is not junk at all. It's regulatory genetic material. And what this genetic material does is it regulates or participates in the regulation of gene expression and non-expression. And then that kind of opened up a whole other field of science that began to understand some of the social and psychological implications of that. So, for example, two people can carry the same gene, which may lead to a disease expression, but both people won't express the gene. One person may and one person may not. And you'll see that best, perhaps, in identical twins, for example, where they carry the identical genetic information, but they can be very different in the genes that end up getting expressed. So science began to realize that although we don't understand how, there is something going on that is deciding whether genes express themselves or not. Now, taking that to another level of understanding, there's a lot of esoteric information that's being channeled about the 12 layers of DNA. And really what that's describing is some of the information that's potentially contained in this quantum field. So, for example, if people believe in karma, and you say, well, how do you code karma into your life? What's the mechanism by which that information is coded into your reality? And you begin to realize that this field of information that encases us, if you will, is part of our spiritual continuity. In other words, if we're beings of consciousness and we're going to be born on the planet, the information that is coupled with our DNA to help govern our reality is contained in some level of information transfer. And personally, I believe this is in the quantum field of our DNA. So now this is not something that science, of course, can explore at this point in time because it's too new. It's sort of beyond the threshold of where science has arrived with quantum theory. And we don't see these things yet. So it's either you resonate with it and understand it's true, or it's just too mystical and far out to accept at this point.
Right.
But a lot of people intuitively, if you will, or resonantly know that there's a truth to this information, and they resonate with it very profoundly. And then it's just trying to find a way to translate that into meaningful experiences. So, for example, some of the new healing work that's emerging, like the Unity Field work that I do, or other work by people like Eric Pearl, or, you know, the Reconnection, or Peggy Dubrow, the EMF balancing technique. I believe all of these modalities work at the quantum level of DNA information and being able to open us up to that greater field of information that contains a lot more knowledge, I guess, and information about who we are. Go ahead.
I wanted to give an example of and get your ideas on this. I have a cancer clinic here, and I've been muscle testing people for causation with breast cancer.
Okay.
And I'll give you some examples, but I want to put one in and then get your take on it.
Okay.
These are the things we've found that are causative. You know, the normal stuff, hormonal, radiation, toxic chemical, emotional being the biggest one, obviously, when there's emotional things, as you know from your experience in family practice, when a woman is betrayed by her husband, someone who's supposed to protect her, and she's right-handed, she often gets a left-sided breast cancer. So the emotional are often predominant in the new cancers. But in the recurrent cancers, they're not so much because people do the forgiveness work and the releasing work. But anyway, going on down, bacterial, fungal, viral, parasite, mildew, that's a big one, which is interesting. Yeah, especially in leukemia. If I'm remembering all of them. I always do other because there might be something I'm not getting. But then the one that I want to get your idea on is called generational curse.
Okay.
And I believe this is what's coming through the quantum field. Generational curse, when that's positive, then you have to do certain things that are much different than, say, hormonal, which you might do a Ramadex or, you know, whatever, or emotional, where you have to work with the emotional body. But generational, one thing that's very, very common, about half the patients have geopathic stress, and many patients have electromagnetic. So geopathic stress, we have to get them not to sleep on the geopathic stress line or work on the geopathic stress line if their desk is on it. So electromagnetic is very important, too, because obviously if they live by a cell tower, have a smart meter by their bed, that's a bad thing. But generational curse comes up quite a bit, and I believe that is what we're talking about with epigenetics.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've had another experience, Susan, that I haven't really shared in written form or my work yet, but basically what I was shown one day was I went for, I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the process of a past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
And really what this is a meditative experience where you're taken into a more theta state of consciousness, if you will, and a very relaxed state of consciousness. And your mind kind of opens up in this field to more than your everyday thinking, if you will, things that you might be aware of but on a level that's transcendental, if you will, to your everyday life. And I had done this a couple of times in the past, and I had very vivid recollection of prior life experiences. And in this experience, I was starting to be shown an incarnation, but the funny thing about it was I couldn't get my feet on the ground. And the gentleman doing the hypnosis was coaching me, you know, and trying to get me to anchor into the vision, if you will. And then all of a sudden I said, but that's not the kind of experience this is. And what ended up happening was I went the other way. So instead of being shown an incarnation, I went backwards from an incarnation to the spiritual dimension of birth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shown in that experience what happens when you're about to be born. And basically, I was brought to this corridor, this galleyway. It was really like the courtyard of a monastery or a beautiful hotel or resort. And it was very, you know, there was a lot of color and life inside the corridor. And as you looked around, there were three or four rows of doors, like levels, if you will, or floors. And there was like a balustrade, and you could see all these doors on each level, kind of like you were looking at rooms in a hotel. And I was aware at that point in time that behind any one of those doors is an incarnation. So if I kind of went consciously through the door, I would have went into a life experience, if you will.
Right.
But what happened was energy started flowing out of certain doors. And it was flowing into this like diamond-shaped light structure that was in the middle of the courtyard. And all of this energy began to fill this little octahedron with vibration and color. And then as that happened, it finally finished, and the crystal, I guess, was full of the energy and information that it was meant to contain. And then, you know, in Star Trek, when they go into hyperspeed and the starship goes zooming at this unbelievable speed through the universe, this crystal kind of took off, and it flew in that kind of a way, and it anchored into another quartz-like crystal that was sitting on top of a mountain in this vision.
Mm-hmm.
And as it anchored into that crystal, what I was shown was a little baby, like a fetus, mm-hmm. and this octahedron formed around the child, the baby. It was an unborn baby, so a developing baby, if you will, still a fetal baby. And this information coupled with the child. And it was kind of a mechanism, if you will, that was showing me how spiritual information is sent forth to couple with a baby that's in the process of being formed.
Mm-hmm.
It just made a lot of sense to me because I realized, why do some people have so many abilities or talents? And why do people have certain challenges? You know, like some people, for example, if you talk to them, all of their life is about overcoming problems with relationships. And other
right.
people, it might be abundance or financial issues. Other people, it's overcoming victimization and having a sense of personal power. You know, there are themes that we can look at. And but I began to understand that there's something in the person's consciousness or psyche that's creating those experiences over and over. And where does that information lie? And when I saw this process, I realized that when we're born, we bring with us information that's specifically chosen, if you will, and it's meant to help us design our life or our reality. And it has within it certain restrictions, things that hold us back in certain ways that we have to work through, certain
mm-hmm.
lessons, and also a potential. Or, you know, if we work through the energy of what these things are, it takes us to a new potential. So there's a purpose that's on a spiritual level that's implicated in all of this. But in the baby, the genetics of the parents are also embedded. So when the baby's formed, the, you know, half of the genetic material comes from the mother and half comes from the father. So there's kind of three components to this. There's the genetic transfer of the parents, and then the spiritual energy that's kind of encoded with the DNA. And all of this information blends together, if you will, and it will have an influence on the DNA and the genetic expression of the individual. So what you're saying to me makes perfect sense. Like, I believe that, you know, in native spiritual traditions, they say it's the sin of a father affects seven generations, for example.
Exactly.
And really what that's saying is, you know, the behavior of a father, you transfer that to your children, or the behavior of a mother, you transfer that to your children. Now, that being said, I think we're at a very special time. And because we have this potential to awaken spiritually and bring in new information and new energy on a, on an individual and in a collective way as well, people can heal these things in a very unprecedented way. I think once upon a time you would have had to just live through it. You know, if that was your fate or your destiny, you kind of worked through that in your life and you were born and you died and then you would go have a little rest perhaps and come back again and work on the next thing. And through these experiences, they're all very, on a spiritual level, they're very rich and meaningful. On a human level, some of them are just downright difficult and unbelievable. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, but I believe now we're kind of going into this phase of the planet, and there's many reasons for that that we can talk about. But, you know, we're at a time when people can open up. And in essence, what you're doing is you're erasing that energy or programming. And that ties in very nicely to what I'm talking about in the quantum field work. It's being able to open up and release the energy that's holding that information that's controlling the DNA expression in place, if you will.
So in the case of the woman who has a bunch of victim stuff coming in from these other lifetimes surrounding the fetus, and then she's born in, she grows up, she falls in love with a particular man, and falling in love is, you know, is you bonding with that person probably for these lessons.
Right.
Yeah, they have some kids. He has an affair, okay.
Yeah.
And then she has to choose. Is she going to be a victim, or is she going to shed that victim mentality and take, you know, take responsibility for the whole kit and caboodle, and either forgive her husband, release her husband. Either is fine. You can do either one. It really doesn't matter. But not continue in the victim mode.
That's
and
right.
If she is able to get out of victimhood, then she has learned a very, very important spiritual lesson.
That's absolutely right. And
that's why they call them cancer victims, which is
that's
interesting.
Right. That's right, yeah. And the war on disease, it's their term,
right.
And they reflect very adequately the way we live and think. And those
right.
Kinds of things.
But right. The lower level of consciousness, yeah. I wanted to also mention, I believe it was Edgar Cayce that talked about overlays. These overlays are very important. He talked about like a very powerful spiritual being might have an overlay of alcoholism in order to learn a certain lesson. Or what is even more interesting, say someone, a high spiritual being, is supposed to become president of the United States, but he has to have an overlay of ambition because he wouldn't make it otherwise.
That's
so
right.
So when you look at somebody, Cayce was saying, please don't judge them, because some of their negative attributes might actually be overlays that are given so that they can achieve what they're supposed to do in life.
I
thought that was interesting
that.
Information.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that makes perfect sense, yeah. Because you'll be supported, right? You'll be given the tools or the energies or attributes, if you will, that you need. And I think people experience it, too, in another way where there's a bleed-through of attributes. So say, for example, you know, you've had a very powerful experience. And I find most of these things that bleed through in this way are things that left a very large psychological impact, you know.
Right.
So, for example, something that killed you or had a profound emotional effect on you in another incarnation, if you will.
Yeah, a betrayal, you know, those kind of things, too.
That's right, yeah.
False accusation.
That's right,
the things that are really hard to get through without, you know, thinking you're a victim, you know.
That's right. They hook you right back in.
That's right.
Yeah, and we're all faced with that. And then I find when you're dealing with these things, too, as we open to this understanding, of course, there's a certain logical component, and we're we're trying to understand and grow. But the greatest force of healing is compassion. Mm-hmm. And when we bring a compassionate relationship to the experience, towards ourself and towards the whole dynamic of what's going on, it adds a whole catalyst to the healing process. Because I find we tend to judge ourselves. So, for example, you know, we see, yes, I'm being a victim or whatever. I see how silly I'm being, and I got to get over this. And there's a great mental force to push us through it. But on some level, you have to really connect to it through your heart. And
right.
you have to relate to it on a level of how we're suffering and how challenging this is and how I need to be with myself in a very loving and self-supportive way and stand up and be strong with that energy behind me.
And that really brings you into spiritual practices. I mean, meditation's a great way to learn to become the observer rather than the victim. You know, you can observe yourself going through all of these experiences, observe your emotions, observe your thoughts, observe even things on higher levels. What I used to do is go into the person that I was having the conflict with and become them for a while so that I could understand everything. And often, then I would understand the misunderstanding they had and then be able to clear it up on the physical plane.
Yeah,
because oftentimes, there's a very, very definite misunderstanding. And when you see it, you go, oh, my God, no wonder they were acting so weird, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
But we do have that ability to do that. We have the ability to rise above and then even to go into others, go into their dreams, go into their consciousness, go into their mental state and emotional state and understand what they're feeling and thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Quite interesting.
So tell us a little bit about Unity Field Healing.
So the Unity Field Healing is basically an energy process. I think today most people are familiar with energy concepts, you know, energy medicine, hands-on healing, Reiki, these types of things. So this is akin to an energy modality, if you will, but it's just working in a little bit of a different way. It's working in what I perceive to be the quantum level of consciousness. And the way the work is designed, I was doing it first with hands-on sessions, so I would do kind of like an energy medicine format where someone would be laying on a table and you may do an energy process. And then I was led to develop the sessions in an audio format. So the way that they exist now is there's three sessions, and they're the first session is referred to as self-attunement or DNA self-attunement. And really this is just, it's a conscious guided audio process to bring someone into conscious resonance with their own spiritual DNA. The second session is an attunement, if you will, to this light template that we talked about a little bit earlier, and bringing that structure into the DNA to support healing and transformation. And again, it's just a short, like a 30-minute audio guided process. The third session was designed to help people, because as you go through a healing process, things arise. You become more aware of issues, or you become more aware of challenges, or you encounter something that you seem to be stuck on, you know, like this thing that won't go away, if you will. And so this session was really meant to bring what I call targeted intentional support. So it's bringing a very specific healing intention into the Unity Field Healing Attunement. And when you work spiritually and in consciousness, you're basically setting forth an intention for an energetic transformation. And you often don't know how to achieve it, you know, when it comes to energy. So, for example, if we're working with energy healing and our problem is lack of self-worth, for example, that can be very, very deep. And people keep making choices that reflect a limited perception of their own worth or value. So as you begin to unshackle that, there's layers often to it. It's like an onion, you know. Sometimes you have to go through different layers of energy or consciousness patterns that have become embedded in the person's psyche that reflect that way of seeing themselves. And so many challenges can arise, you know. And as you go through experiences, this session was really tailored to be there, be available, if you will, as a session you can use over and over and over whenever you run into a problem of any type. And understanding that by putting forth the intention, like an honest, wholehearted intention to bring healing into an issue, your spirit will respond to that in ways that are even mystical sometimes. Like, we don't know the solution, but the solutions are there. And by activating the energy transformation, we will create a parallel experience, if you will, in this, our 3D reality that will help us walk through that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people have worked with it, you know, I've had some interesting feedback. People have talked about the energy things they feel that they're not used to feeling when they've had other things done. You know, people will surface little physical experiences in their body, like, you know, several people have said they've had shingles or an outbreak of a herpes virus or something in response to the energy work. And I believe what's happening is your body is clearing that energy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, people go through the usual sore, you know, muscles and aches and pains and things. If that's part of the release experience, sometimes people will, you know, cough up mucus or even vomit and things as your body is clearing itself of energy and vibration that it wants to eradicate. And then it often triggers psychological experiences. Like, I had one lady share with me that she was having a really difficult time with her daughter, and they, you know, they were arguing for many years, and they really got to the point where they were not seeing eye to eye at all, and they had lost communication. And she did the session, and she really focused it on healing her side of the issue. Okay, she said, I know that if I'm having this conflict, there's something about me that is contributing to it. And I want to understand the part of it that is my healing. I really want to forgive myself and move into a space where I can understand and release this. And the next day, her daughter phoned her after the session, and her daughter had this awakening, and she said, you know, she said, I've been arguing with you for so long, and all of this time, I just feel like you're trying to change me. And she said, I had to put up a wall, because in order to be myself and be who I am, I couldn't continue to live under the influence of what you were trying to make me be.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady who had the energy treatment said, well, it's interesting, because as she, you know, through couple of days after the session, had realized that she came to the same realization, in essence. She realized that her relationship with her daughter had become one of basically criticizing everything she did,
mm-hmm.
constantly trying to get her into a pattern of behaving and being that was akin to what she wanted for her, as opposed to what her daughter saw as appropriate for herself. And this was really the core, the essence of their dynamic. And with the understanding that came, they were able to, you know, create a new level of relationship. Now, that doesn't mean it's all easy. Of course, they still have to work through that and develop a whole new dynamic between them. But because they took it seriously and they expressed that intent to heal, or at least in particular the mother did here, you can see how these energy changes filter down, if you will, or manifest as real experiences. So those are the types of things that people will sometimes encounter. Yeah, so it's very interesting, but I believe to open up to this kind of healing or this level of energy healing is really it's a spiritual jump, because you're not just, when we think of healing in medicine, we think therapeutically, you know, like you have an infection, you take an antibiotic that counters the infection, and you, on a very 3D level, you get rid of the infection. But when you're working on a level of energy and consciousness, you're stepping behind the manifestation and trying to come to terms, if you will, with the energy that has brought the manifestation into reality in the first place. So it's
as a healer, you don't know what that is either. I remember doing a healing on a patient from out of state, and she had a complicated physical problem. And so I was, you know, working on that area of her body, and then she asked me, is this going to heal this? I said, well, I really don't know if it will or not, but probably something will happen. And she called me 2 days later and said that her sister, who she hadn't spoken to in about 30 years, called her.
Oh, yeah.
So somehow that bad relationship between those two may have had something to do with the physical problem the patient had, or, you know,
yeah.
We don't know. I mean, we really don't know.
No, that's right. And what I believe happens is these powerful experiences, that what they're creating are kind of strictures in our energy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're blocking our energy, the energy can't flow.
Right.
And if it can't flow, it can't bring vitality. So on some level, like our psyche will try to address this in ways that are gentle, I guess, at first, you know, like, you know, we might feel bad and we can deal with it on a purely emotional level and resolve it. At other times, we don't have the insight or the awareness to do that, if you will, and then it turns into another kind of an experience, and we keep holding on and holding on. And by holding that energy in our system, we manifest something that is, it's the way I see energy is that it's attractive in the sense that it's holding a vibrational pattern, and life responds by creating a reality around that pattern.
Right.
So if we're,
exactly.
You know, if we're holding, yeah, if we're holding a restriction, then our, you know, our poor body has no option but to respond to that pattern in some way if we don't deal with it in consciousness and in energy. So the disease becomes another expression, but when we see, when we understand that, we can actually learn to value disease in a strange way, because we can say, this, it's I'm living this, and it's attempting to help me get to the core of something that on a very spiritual level I'm meant to do.
Right,
and,
that's true.
Yeah, so it brings a whole other level into the healing process, which is something that's not part of traditional medicine in any way, really.
And in your book, you talk about chakras and give a great description of them. And people who can see chakra energy tell us that there's usually a disruption of chakra energy when there's a cancer in the area. So
yeah.
Probably every time there's cancer, there's some sort of blockage of
it
the flow of this energy coming from higher dimensions.
That's so, right. That's right.
Yeah, so the evidence is that it is a blockage or a incoherent energy pattern that needs to be changed before the physical disease can be cured or released or whatever.
Yeah.
So would you like to give your contact information?
For sure, Susan. I have a website, which is the kind of the portal, I guess, for everything that I do. It's www.drjohnryan.org. And there's at the top of the webpage, there's a tabs, and there's a section on the book, The Missing Pill. There's a section on Unity Field Healing. And the book is available through Amazon. I think that's the easiest way for people to purchase it. And so The Missing Pill through Amazon. And the sessions can be purchased through the website. So they're in audio format. So if you purchase the sessions, we'll send you a file and a download link so that you can download the sessions to your own audio devices and do them in a nice meditative way. You know, put headphones on and go into a nice healing space and listen to the audios. And actually, for today, I'd like to offer a little gift to your listeners as well, if people are interested in the work. These sessions are priced at $25 Canadian, so it was important to me that it be available to people. I didn't want it to be expensive. I want it to be something that people could really access. And so the sessions are $25 each, and it's $65 if you buy the set of three. But if people purchase session one and two, I'd like to give them session three as a gift. And in the comment section, they can just put Temple of Health Radio Show, and I'll know that it's one of your listeners.
Well, thank you. That's great.
It's a pleasure.
That's
great,
yeah. So we're coming up at the end of our hour. Is there any inspirational message you'd like to give the listening audience?
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, if I were to leave a message with anybody, it would be there's, inside of each and every one of us, we have a tremendous spiritual power to access healing that's really transcendent to anything we've known or understood to this point in time. And I would encourage everybody to open their minds to that understanding and to do their homework, if you will, to learn about it in whatever way is appropriate for them. Because we can bring such great healing and well-being into our lives by understanding our spiritual nature and the ability to transform things through consciousness and energy. And it's a time of great gifts on the planet, and it takes a personal participation. So I encourage each and everyone to do their utmost and their best to open up to this kind of information and learn and heal. And I send that with that all my blessings and support and love, and wish everybody who's listening today a vibrant and happy reality.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, John. It's been a delightful interview, and the book is really amazing. It's a wonderful compilation expanding a lot of different spiritual information and channeled information that I feel is very important, and especially to understand healing at a very basic level. And of course, your exercises are great. They're a great bargain and a great gift to anyone who is able to access them. I'm sure that they'll be very helpful.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Susan.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us. We've been interviewing Dr. John Ryan, The Missing Pill, The Rise of Energy-Based Healing and Consciousness Biospiritual Transformation. Next week, we have Dr. Kilmore McCulley, pioneer of homocysteine theory. And then the week after that, Dr. Meg Losey, The Children of Now Evolution. And then on the 28th, Dr. Art Markman, Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits for Yourself. We have Noetic Science Meeting on Thursday, March 19th at 7:30. Tricia McCannon will be discussing her new book, Return of the Divine Sophia, The Hidden Life and Teachings of Jesus and Mary Sophia. And Dr. Mike Greenberg will be discussing food allergies on Tuesday, March 24th. Again, John, thanks so much for joining us, and please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.